Well, we're in our Luke study. Imagine that. If I've counted correctly, we're in the 19th lesson. I do plan on finishing the book of Luke before the Lord comes again. But you just never know. It would be a great one to be studying if he were to come, right? So that's good. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 12. So today we get verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. We're going to get a total of four verses today. So we're moving right along, right? It's good. Good. What I want to talk to you about today is the miracle with the leper, where Jesus came face to face, encountered this person covered full of leprosy, and the miracle that took place. How that relates to you and me, and how we can see it, how the Bible really wants us to see it, I believe. So, let's get started. Let's read verse 12, or at least portion of that verse. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with. The King James Version, it says full of. Covered with, full of leprosy. Now, Jesus was traveling. He was doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He had to go from city to city to city. You can't pin him down. He's going to cover the whole globe. And so he's going from place to place, and he's preaching the kingdom of God. That was the primary thing that Jesus did and does. He preaches the kingdom of God. We don't really relate to leprosy today. The thing that carries the most stigma, as leprosy did then, would be AIDS. It has the closest thing that we can kind of relate to with leprosy, but nothing in that culture carried the stigma as did leprosy, with the stigma of the social parts, the stigma of the religious parts, and the stigma that it carried, of course, with the physical part. It had an immense stigma. It's a common problem in Israel. Jesus even told that when he was talking in Luke chapter 4, where they about pushed him off the cliff in his own hometown. He said there were many lepers in the days of Naaman. So this is something that was very, very common to these people. And this guy was full of leprosy. He was covered with leprosy. In other words, Luke, the physician, is diagnosing him here as in the final stages of leprosy, of terminal leprosy. Now, I want to ask you, how would that look? How would it look to be covered with leprosy, full of leprosy? I'm going to show you some pictures in just a few moments, but I want to read to you from the Wikipedia, Wikipedia dictionary. It says this: leprosy, or Hansen's disease, HD, is a chronic disease caused by the bacteria Mycobacterium leprae and Mycobacterium lepromatosis, named after physician Gerard Hansen. Now, what I want us to see here is that there's two bacteria attached with leprosy. And it's caused and it's attacked two areas of our lives, of a person's life. First of all, there's the peripheral nervous system. That's the nervous system other than the brain and other than the spinal column. It attacks all the extremities. It attacks the fingers, the toes, the ears, the limbs, the skin. And it brings a tremendous numbness. It attacks the nerves. And the second place that it attacks is the mucous areas, the mucosa, membranes, the nostrils, sinuses, mouth, lips, eyelids, ears, genital areas, anus. Any place producing body excretion, it attacks that. And the way the body attempts to fight it off, the immune system attempts to fight it off, is walling it off. It tries to build tumors or lumps or bumps or nodules around the bacteria in an attempt to contain it. Now, leprosy is extremely contagious. It's been around for years and years. They've done some tests on some of the ancient Egyptian mummies, and they found that leprosy was even then. Leper colonies still exist today in third world countries. And the disease was incurable, until the 1930s. And at that time, they began to work with it some, but it wasn't until the 1980s that leprosy was properly diagnosed by Hansen and treated successfully. Though treated, it still has done its damage. So there's a tremendous physical attack that goes on to the person, but that's only half or a third, actually, of the ramifications that this horrific thing brings. You see, there's the tremendous social outcast that it brings, both religiously and socially. I want to read to you from the book of Leviticus. Oh, let me show you the pictures. Let me go back. I skipped my pictures. Let me show you these pictures so we'll get a good idea. This particular individual is supposed to be a 24-year-old man. And you can see the deformation of his face. It's also called Lion's disease. Lion's disease because it deforms the face to so much look like a lion, but also it eats a man away. That's what the disease did. Show me picture number two, please. Here is a side view, and you can see the nose is gone, and it's the horrific thing, how it attacks the areas. And this is just the face. The whole body is like this. Third picture, please. Facial frontage view. See the same kind of a thing. It's horrific. It's sad. It's terrible. And so this person now is suffering physically, but there's also the social stigma that goes along with it as well. So let me read to you from Leviticus 13:45. It says here, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, what? Unclean, unclean. Now, I'm making a big point. He didn't cry out, leper, leper. He didn't cry out, I have leprosy, I have leprosy. What did he cry out? Unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. So the law required this person to be away from any people that were not leprous. And when they came into contact, he had to cry out, or she had to cry out, unclean, unclean. They didn't cry out, leper, leper. Unclean, unclean. And this uncleanliness made them socially rejected. They had to live socially unproductive. They couldn't work, and if they were to make anything, no one would purchase it because they would be afraid they would have leprosy. So they were socially unproductive. They were unclean. This uncleanliness cost a person their family. They wouldn't want to be around their family, their children, their spouse, fearful that the person would catch the leprosy from them. This uncleanliness caused a person to live a lost life in a colony of unclean people, where the disease was just shared back and forwards. This is how they lived, separate from worship of God and separate from the blessings of God. The uncleanliness reduced a person to a beggar. They had to beg all their lives long. Beg somebody would bring them some food. Beg somebody would bring them a blanket. Beg somebody would bring them some clothing. Reduced them to nothing. The uncleanliness caused pain, making it nearly impossible to bathe. The uncleanliness caused a pitiful, sad, painful, rejected, and nasty existence. This was the situation, the person full, covered with leprosy, who Jesus encountered. He's incurable, and he's terminal. Now, here's where I'm going with this, and where I feel like the scriptures go with it as well. If you could see sin, if you could see the effects that sin has on your heart and on your soul, how would it look? If you could see through the eyes of God and see what sin does to your heart, what sin does to your soul, and have an image of it, what would that be? It would be leprosy. Have you ever done something that was so unclean? You did something that you so regretted, that was so horrific, that you felt dirty. On the outside, you looked fine, but on the inside, you know you were unclean. How would it look if you could see it through the eyes of God? See, through the eyes of God, without the touch of Jesus on our lives, this is what our hearts and our souls look like. And I'll show you in Scripture, this is what the Lord is projecting. What happened is sin made us unclean. We're unkempt, unkept. We let our lives go when we're sinning. We're nasty. We have all of these tumors and all over us. And I'll be explaining and bringing this into a way that we can. We're smelly. We're decaying away. We're losing our life. We'll talk about how we'll lose our families in sin. We're in a leper colony with other lepers just like us. It's what we're forced to be around. Some of it may say, well, Delbert, I don't think that about myself. I don't think my heart and my soul looks that bad. Well, you're just not looking deep enough. You see, externally, you may look well. You may look great. I did in the 1970s before I came and found Jesus. My life looked pretty good. I was making a lot of money, had a good family, had a nice home, had all cars and boats and all these things. It looked good on the outside. But on the inside, I was filthy and I was unclean. And I knew then something inside of me was nasty and drying up and dying and sick and dirty. Without the touch of Jesus, this is how we feel about life. See, my soul and my heart, if I looked at it through the eyes of God, it was horrific. And God looks at the heart. Let me show you a couple of these examples in the Scriptures, because the Scriptures use leprosy to show us sin. Eliab was the brother of David. He was the oldest brother of David. And what happened is God spoke to Samuel, told Prophet Samuel to go down to Jesse's house. And he says, there I want you to anoint the next king. And Jesse had 8 boys. And so Samuel goes down, but he doesn't know which boy it is. So he has to kind of figure this thing out by himself with the help of God, of course. And so Eliab, the oldest, the prettiest, the most handsome one, walks in, and he's tall, and he's a GQ guy. He's got the hair. He's ripped. He's looking good, you know. And Samuel says, surely this must be the Lord's anointed. And he was about to anoint him as the next king. But the Lord speaks to Samuel and says this, but the Lord, in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have what? Of what? The Lord says, I've rejected him. Why has the Lord rejected him? What would cause the Lord to reject anyone? The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, Eliab, he looked good on the outside, but his heart caused the Lord to reject him. He had a nasty heart. He had a nasty soul. So I want to just stop right here and give you a thought here. How does your soul look right now to God? If you could look at it right now through the eyes of God, your heart and your soul, how would it look? See, without the touch of Jesus, we all should run around crying, unclean, unclean. Without the touch of Jesus, we're beyond cure and we're terminal. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and what? Beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can figure it out? It's so dirty, it's so nasty, it's so wrong. Who can understand it? It's beyond cure. In and of ourselves, we're beyond cure. Jesus says this about the heart. He's speaking in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. He says, what comes out of a man is what makes him what? Sick or unclean? For from within, out of men's or people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make the man or the person unclean, not sick. See, sin defiles us and makes us unclean. When a person is sick, they're just sick. The soul is covered with the nodules and tumors. Sin has caused numbness in our lives. We're numb to God. We're numb to people. Our consciences are seared, the Bible says, with a hot iron. We just don't care about the things we should care about. We've lost the ability to be convicted about the things that we do. Leprosy, sin is eating away our face. We don't look like we should be looking to God. People begin to despise us. It attacks our excretion, and what comes out of us is unclean. Our hearts and souls are grotesque. See, an illness will make you sick. Sin makes us unclean. Our hearts, our souls are grotesque in the eyes of God. The uncleanliness has cost us our productivity in life. We've lost our purpose. Uncleanliness will cost us our families. This uncleanliness will cause us to live in a colony of lower life people who are decaying away just like we are. It's uncleanliness that separates us from worshiping God and the blessings that God has for us. So how does your heart look? How is your soul looking right now? I want to read verse 12 again. This time I'll read the entire verse. Verse 12 says this: while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." What does he say? You got to get it right. You can what? Make me clean. Not heal me. The guy knew. He knew. It wasn't a healing that he needed. What he needed was a cleansing. And the scriptures connect this. Connected all through the scriptures, there's a connection with leprosy and sin. It's synonymous. And so I want to give you a couple of these. You remember Miriam and Aaron? They were the sister and brother of Moses. And they exited Egypt with Moses and went into the wilderness. And so they developed this beef. They were seeming to do well, but suddenly they developed this beef with Moses. And what their beef was it's Moses, Moses, Moses. Well, it's only Moses who makes the decision. It's only Moses who gets to talk to God. It's Moses, Moses, Moses. Well, can't we talk to God too? We want to be the leaders. And so God, of course, knew about it. He calls them out, literally. He calls them out to the tabernacle of meeting. Cloud comes down. And there he reprimands Aaron and Miriam. And then he lifts up. And here's what happened. Number 12:10. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. God put that on her. Why? So we can see what sin looks like. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." See, he was showing them the sin of rebellion, which is the sin of witchcraft. He was showing them this physically. You need to do something with Miriam here. She needs to get out away from my leaders, and she's causing this trouble. It was Miriam who instigated this whole problem. So she had to get out of the camp until she repented. When she repented, God healed her, and she came back in. What God does in the scriptures is shows us externally what's happening internally through leprosy. Another account that we read about is Joab when he murdered or killed Abner. And David cursed Joab. 2 Samuel 3:29. May his, Abner's, blood fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house. He's cursing the generations to come. May Joab's house never be without someone who has a running sore or leprosy. See, the worst curse that could be on a person was to have leprosy. It would be like you telling someone today, "I want your children and generations to come, every one of them, to have AIDS." It's the worst thing. It could be spoken. So leprosy becomes a picture of a cursed life. Naaman, you remember Naaman? Naaman was the commander of the Assyrian army, Aram. And he attacked God's people. He was a terrorist. And he would come and attack God's people. Now, just a little side note here. You be careful when you attack God's people. Because Naaman contracted leprosy. And I've watched it over the years when God's people were attacked. Man, now even if it's another person of God attacking another person of God, I'm telling you, it can sometimes become leprous. Be careful there. So Naaman hears that Elisha can heal this. He's a man of God, a prophet in Israel. So he goes and he finds him. He repents. He takes these riches to Elisha. And he says, I want Elisha to heal me, to cleanse me of this leprosy. Well, Elisha knows he's there, and Elisha says, I can't take your riches. He took all these riches, and he was going to give them to Elisha. He says, I can't take your riches for what God and God only can do. He says, but tell him if he'll go and he'll dip in the Jordan River, if he'll wash in the Jordan River seven times, he'll be cleansed. Well, Naaman didn't want to do it, if you're familiar with the story. Eventually he does. He goes and he washes seven times, and the seventh time he comes out, and the Bible says that he had skin like a baby. He was cleansed. He was healed. He was excited. And who wouldn't be? Well, Elisha has a servant named Gehazi. Now, Gehazi wants those riches. So he goes and finds Naaman and he says, my master's changed his mind. He wants the riches. Naaman happily gives them to him, thinking he's going to give them to Elisha. And he didn't. He was going to keep them for himself. Of course, Elisha knows about it. And Elisha says, Gehazi, what have you done? What have you done? What's your greedy heart done? What's your greedy soul done? So I'm going to read this to you. Here's what Elisha said, 2 Kings 5:27. Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. So it's not just something that gets on the one individual. It's something that is passed on to generations, this leprosy thing. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous as white as snow. He had a greedy heart, sinful heart. So sins show up in the Scriptures through this. This is how God is showing us. Leprosy in Scripture is a picture of the appearance of sin. Let me show you one more example in the Scriptures. It's King Uzzah. He became a very prideful person. Pride's a sin. He became a very prideful person. He raged in anger, and he had disrespect for the things of God. And so in 2 Chronicles, he's in the tabernacle where he had no place and no business being, and he's swinging around the censer for incense. And let me read it to you, 2 Chronicles 26:19. It says, Uzzah, who had a censer in his right hand ready to burn incense, became angry. And while he was raging at the priest, in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. King Uzzah had leprosy until the day he died. It is terminal. And he lived in a separate house, leprous, and excluded from the temple of the Lord. He had raging anger. He had disrespect to the things of God. He was prideful. And he had leprosy. You know, God could strike them all dead. But sometimes, you know, there are things worse than death. And leprosy is one of them. So God gives us a picture of how sin looks to him. If he wants to expose somebody's sin, he shows us leprosy. And the Jews knew and connected the two thoughts together of sin and leprosy and the stigma that it had. And Jesus knew about it. And this guy that came to Jesus wasn't just hearing the stories. He was living the story from the inside out. This leprous man connected leprosy with something wrong inside of him. And he comes to Jesus and he says, if you will, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. I want to read verse 12 to you from the King James Version. I told you that I wouldn't. I'd show you where it said full, but there's some other points here I want to see in it that King James brings out. In verse 12 it says this, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full inside out, full up. Leprosy was seeing Jesus, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him. A couple of thoughts here. The term behold here isn't used in the NIV or other translations, but it's there. And it needs to be there because I want to show you what the word means in the Greek. In the Greek, it means ito. It's the Greek word ito. And what it means is it's an imperative word. And so it indicates something. And what it's indicating here is something out of the ordinary. It's a surprise. It's something attention-grabbing. This guy wasn't supposed to be there. And he got everybody's attention. He's supposed to be in his colony. Behold, have you ever had anything like that to happen to you? Something kind of get your attention that this person shouldn't be here. This was years ago. I think it was prior to the time when they built the new post office. Post office was down at the First Methodist. And I was down there one day. And many of you will remember this person. But in line ahead of me, several people, there was this woman. And bless her heart, she was covered with warts. So warts all over her body. And bless her heart, it was so sad. And, you know, people were trying not to look at her or whatever. And so this mother and a little girl comes in behind me. And the little girl's about 4 or 5 years old. And you can imagine what's about to happen. And she comes in. And before the mother could prepare the little girl and get her ready, she just sees this woman. And behold, she sees this woman covered in warts. And she points at her and she says, "Ooh, mama, she's ugly." And, of course, the wart-covered woman just drops her head. And the mother grabs the kid and knocks her hand down and picks her up. She just apologizes. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive her. I'm so sorry." And the woman finishes her stuff and goes out. Have you ever had something like that to happen? Behold, there was the woman. See, when this guy comes, he doesn't care what people point at him. Here's my point that I'm trying to get to is when we come to Jesus, we can't care what other people say. I don't care how we look or listen. Here's how we're going to get healed. Here's how we're going to get this stuff off of us and out of us. It's coming to Jesus. No matter who's pointing at us or what fun they're making of us, we've got to get it. We've got to get healed. We've got to get cleansed. And the leper besought Jesus. He comes seeking for Jesus. This was no accident. He come looking. Somebody had told him, "Listen, there's a guy, Jesus of Nazareth, and if you go into where he's in the city right now, if you go into the city, he can cleanse you." Let me read to you 5:12-13. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him. You know, I think we're so prideful. We don't want to beg Jesus to cleanse us. We don't want to beg him to forgive us. Listen, I think we should, don't you? I don't think there's anything wrong with it. "Lord, please get this out of me." You know, it's like we was talking about demons not too long ago. And I said, "I wish somebody could come up and lay hands on me and say, 'I get this out of you right now, Jesus.'" Wouldn't that be cool? Get this out of me. Beg him. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and what? Touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus didn't say be healed. What did Jesus say? Be clean. Spiritually, we're all covered with and full of microbacteria leprosy. And it's eating away our lives. It eats away our eyes. Our eyelids, and it closes our eyes where we can't see the kingdom of God, the things of God. We can't see the abundant life that God has for us. We can't see what God has for us. We can't even see the kingdom of God much enter it. You've got to be born again just to see it, and you've got to be born of water and spirit to enter it. And we can't see it because of sin, because of this leprous thing. We can't see the important things of God. We can't see anything good about life. It eats away at our ears. We can't hear God. We can't hear what He's saying to us for our lives, or to hear from Him for our children's lives, or to hear from Him for our spouse's lives. We can't hear what God's will would be. Can't hear. We lose our families. We're full of ourselves. We're full of tumors of pride. boils of greed, infected sores of hate, and scabs of anger. Leprosy eats away the cartilage of our noses, and we can't smell life like we should. We can't smell life should be sweet. We've lost our sensitivity. It's eaten away all the stuff. We can't touch what's real in life. We can't feel it. We can't feel real love. We can't feel real joy. We can't experience and have real peace and righteousness because of this sin, this leprosy. And we're terminal. And the only solution for any of us is to come find Jesus and beg Him. Beg Him. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Healing's great, and you know I'm all for it. But there's something about being clean that's better. And that was the picture of me. I was that leper in the 1970s. But somebody somehow convinced me that if I could go find Jesus, that He could cleanse me. He could make me clean. And I, like everybody else, said, really? Really? So I go and I try to find Him. I want to find out. So I go to a couple churches like most of us do, and I didn't find Him there. So I started reading the Bible, and I started seeing. I started seeing Jesus in the Bible. Imagine that. It's a strange place, isn't it? I began to see Him. And He got clearer and clearer. I got closer and closer. And then finally one day, there He was. Whoa, right there. And I fell at His feet. And I said, Jesus, if you will, you can cleanse me. I don't like me. I don't like my heart. I don't like my life. I don't like who I am. I look good on the outside, but I'm an Eliab. I got a nasty heart. You know what He did? He said, I'm willing. And He touched my life. And I've never been the same. The leprosy left. It's gone. You say, Delbert, did you say you never sinned again? You're kidding, right? No. I besought Him. I found Him. And that's what we have to do. We beseech Jesus and He touches our life. See, that's what we have to do. We have to find Jesus. And I learned something. That if I will find Him and seek Him out, every time I have besought Him and said, will you cleanse me? He's always done it again and again and again. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, now notice the if. See, that's the key. How many Christians really confess their sins? We act like we never did anything wrong. If we confess our sins. This is all dependent upon this if. Your cleansing is dependent upon the if. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us. From all unrighteousness, if we say that we have not sinned, see, it's not an issue of if you have or not. It's an issue of if you've confessed it or not. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, we've talked about this before. I want to make sure we get there. See, there's an importance here that I'm wanting us to get. It's important to confess your sins to Jesus. Don't come confess them to me. I mean, that's okay if you want some counseling, you want to talk to me, that's okay. But listen, I'm not into this going to the priest and confessing your sins to a priest and confessional. That's okay, I guess. But who should you really, who did this leper go to? No, kill him. It's so important that we confess. And we've talked about this before, and but my point's not this, but Jesus believed on the laying on of hands. He touched this guy. And it was through that touch that the guy was cleansed. Boom. And we've talked about that, how Jesus believed on the laying on of hands, and so do we here at LifeGate, but that's not my point. My point is, how Who are we willing to touch? What leprous person do you know? Sinful person with an ugly soul and an ugly heart. Which one are you willing to touch? You see, the way Jesus touches people today is through us. And by my touching somebody who's sinful and awful, I'm really letting Jesus touch them. Who are we? See, somebody touched you and me. Somebody touched our lives. Somebody said, I'm willing. I'm going to spend a little time on you. I'm going to talk to you some. I'm going to reach out to you. Who are we touching? Allow Jesus to touch people through you. 14 and 15 says this. Then Jesus ordered him. What? What did he say? Don't tell anyone. You're kidding me, right? Come on. All this ugly stuff's gone. I'm healed. I'm cured. I'm cleansed. You're kidding me. How can you do that? Who's not going to notice? Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. Now watch this. And offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony. As a testimony to who? To who? The priest, right? Jesus wanted them to know, look. We've done this. God's done this. I am who I say I am. I'm the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. I am through the lineage of David. I am this person you're looking for. He says, let it be a testimony to them. Yet, the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Now, he's going to tell somebody. But what he did is he told everybody. Jesus told him to tell nobody. And he told everybody. He tells us to tell everybody. And we tell nobody. And what he did is he really complicated Jesus' ministry. I want to show you this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 45. He's telling the same story here. And Mark writes it this way. So Jesus tells him to go to the priest and let it be a testimony. And don't tell anybody. And Mark says this, instead, did he go to the priest? I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know. But instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Jesus lost his bed, his favorite restaurant. He had to slip into town at night. You know, he had to stay outside and camp out. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. He complicated them because he told so many people. He told so many people. You know, what was happening is the crowds were coming and gridlocking towns. How would that be here? How would that be? If this area was gridlocked because of people wanting to come for the touch of God on their lives. Coming to hear God speak. Coming to be cleansed. Coming to be healed. Coming to be delivered. Would that be a phenomenal thing? But do you know why it doesn't happen? Because he told him to tell no one. He told everyone. He tells us to tell everyone and we tell no one. Who have you told lately? Who have you told lately? See, we need to talk up the things of God. Tell people what Jesus has done in our lives. Not tell them how great our church is, how wonderful our pastor is, even though he is. How great he shares and teaches, even though he does. Even all that stuff. Don't tell him how good looking he is, even though he is. But don't tell him all that. Just tell him what he did for your life. How he cleansed you. So, how does your heart look? You looked at it right now. Right now, how's it look? Is it full of nodules and scales, infection, bacteria? How's it look? How's it look in the eyes of God? Is it unclean? Are you like an Eliab? Very prideful. Look great on the outside. On the inside, you got a nasty heart, rejected of God. Are you like Miriam? Full of rebellion? Full of leprosy? Maybe you're like Joab. You're killing people with your tongue. Maybe you're like Naaman, attacking God's people. Or like Gehazi, greedy, full of greed. Or Uzzah, full of rage and anger. Disrespect the things of God. What's your heart look like? What's in there? What's in there? What's the sin that you need to ask God to cleanse you from? Not heal you. Cleanse you. How full of leprosy are you? How much leprosy covers your life? See, Jesus is saying to all of us today, I am willing. Our part is to confess. When's the last time you confessed your sins to God? I mean, really got down. So, Lord, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Jesus wants to heal us. And every time that we come to Him, leprous as we are, He says, I'm willing. Be cleansed. So many of us need a fresh touch of God. We just need to go. And see, it's not that He's not willing. It's that we don't confess. If we will, we go and fall down before Him, He'll touch our lives. Clean us up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we all experience this. We all know what this means. We all have a leprous thing about us. So, Father, I ask you to cleanse us. So, with heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want us to combine both of these things, these thoughts. First of all, many of us haven't confessed in a long time, and I'm going to ask you, do you need to confess some things? And if so, raise your hands. But the main thing I'm after is maybe you have gotten away from God and got back with your colony of lepers and you've gotten infected again, and maybe this is where you're at right now and you need to be cleansed there. Or maybe you've never confessed to Jesus and you've never found Him. He wants you to find Him. You've never received Him as your Lord and your Savior. He wants you to. So if any of those fit you, you just know there's some things in your heart that shouldn't be there and you want God to cleanse them. Or maybe you just know you're far from God and you're nasty inside. And you're going to ask God to cleanse you right now, to receive you into His kingdom, if that's you. Would you, along with me, raise your hand right where you're sitting and say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, cleanse me. I see your hands all over. You know what the Lord's saying to you, each one? Hold your hands up. Each one of you, what the Lord's saying to you? He says, I'm willing. And He's reaching His hands right down now, right now. And He's touching. And He says, be clean.